This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. And producer Matt Doyle has implored me to talk with the erudite godfather of the Louisiana Libertarian Party, attorney Mike Wolf. He is in studio, and we do have some time to flesh out what's going on in the presidential election 130 days away. And folks, it's getting closer and closer to the point of no return for President Trump, if these polls are accurate. And these polls are different than they were in 2016. The latest New York Times poll shows that Joe Biden is leading Trump by 14 percentage points. And among whites, it's 43 Biden, 44 Trump. And as we know, Republican candidates now get a wider share of the white vote if they're going to win. And among those with a college degree among whites, 58 to 30 Biden over Trump, almost 2-1 for those with a college degree. White, no college, 53 to 34 Trump. So the more educated you are, the more likely you are to vote for Joe Biden. And Mike Wolf, this time around, unlike 2016, there's no Gary Johnson out there who nationally got a lot of votes. And in the states of Florida, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and a few other states, but those were the four that really cost Hillary Clinton the election, despite the fact that she won the vote by almost 3 million votes. In those states, Johnson got more votes, substantially more votes, than the margin of victory for Trump over Hillary. And there was also Jill Stein, a Green Party candidate, who got a substantial amount of votes well. In every one of these states, Trump was first, Clinton second, Johnson third, and Stein fourth. So the Libertarian Party in the COVID age is not as much of a factor this year. I know you're a loyal Libertarian, will probably vote for the nominee. Who is the nominee, by the way?
Joe Jorgensen, Dr. Joe Jorgensen of South Carolina, who's a psychology instructor. She's a PhD in industrial psychology, teaches at Clemson University, longtime Libertarian. She was Harry Brown's running mate in 92. So she's our candidate, a woman, the only woman so far nominated for president. And her running mate is a guy named Jeremy Spike Cohen, who's a web designer and podcast host in South Carolina, too.
But my guess is that she will not receive the same kind of backing that Gary Johnson received in 2016, even though, as we know, Johnson did not know where Aleppo was, and he made a few other errors, couldn't name a foreign leader he liked. When he was asked by Chris Matthews, he ended up mentioning Vicente Fox, who's been out of power for some time in Mexico. So this candidate, she may very well be more in the know about the issues, but Johnson had a certain charisma. He had been a governor. Yes. And he got 5% of the vote, for example, in Colorado. He almost cost Hillary Clinton Colorado against Donald Trump. So the fact that the third-party candidates, and not just Libertarians but others, have gotten almost no attention, who does this help more, Biden or Trump?
Well, I think Biden. But it's interesting. There are many people who don't like either one of them and have insisted they won't vote for either one, Biden or Trump. The latest one who stands out is John Bolton, who said the other day he would not vote for Trump and he would not vote for Biden. So I assume he's voting for Jorgensen. And I've heard several people say that, too, personal friends of mine, that they were not very energized politically, but who don't like either the Democrat or the Republican candidate.
877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. And we're spending a bit of time with Mike Wolf, who is, for all intents and purposes, the founder of the modern Libertarian Party in Louisiana. He was Libertarian before it was cool, and back in the day when you were in college at Stanford, you were a Richard Nixon supporter. So there's been a wide evolution. Who would you prefer, Biden or Trump?
Oh, Biden, easily to Trump. Trump is just unacceptable for many reasons. To me, I don't think he should be considered.
Why?
Well, he's totally immoral. He's unfit. He misleads the country. He's a pathological liar. He's dishonest. He's dishonest, totally dishonest, and unqualified for that reason only. Plus, his policies are mostly disastrous.
I'm playing devil's advocate. Yeah. He wouldn't be the first politician to be dishonest, would he?
Maybe not, but he's remarkably
so. He brings it to a new level.
A new level, yes, definitely a new level. And so I don't think he should even be considered. But denying real problems like the health problems, but the economic problems are the main ones. Starting trade wars, ruining alliances, wanting to execute drug felons and so forth, the man's crazy.
Well, today, his administration, led by him, of course, went before the Supreme Court to try to undo Obamacare. And this is a program that is popular in the United States, and it's 10 years old. So he also, in an interview yesterday, indicated that he would like to resume the stop-and-frisk approach to policing cities in this country. So it appears that this is a campaign that is based on these hot-button issues, which often have a racial context. Is this divide and conquer? Is this the strategy?
I don't know if it's that, but he's trying to appeal to people who respect brute power. That's why people say he sounds like a fascist. I don't think he's really a fascist, but he does act like one. He glorifies violence, beat people up, beat his opponents up. And that's just... that's stupid and brutish and childish, and it's just terrible to have that kind of so-called leadership, that kind of role modeling from the president. It's just awful.
Well, among Republicans, and this is interesting because among Republicans, the gap between Trump and Biden, 90% for Trump, 5% for Biden, and among Democrats, 90% for Biden, 5% for Trump. It's the independent vote, 50 for Biden, 29 for Trump, that will swing this election one way or the other. And Trump has to win that sector. So he's 21 points down now. He's got to win that to be competitive. But as we know, it is possible he could lose the vote by 5 to 10 million ballots and still win the election in the Electoral College if things shake out the way they did in 2016. Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on with Mike Wolf.
Good morning. I'm an old white man. I don't have a college degree, and I don't think you need one to vote against Donald Trump. I'm riding with Biden.
Well, it is amazing when you look at the education, and the more educated voters are, the more likely they are to vote for Joseph Robinette Biden. And in Louisiana, for example, Trump won by 19.6% of the votes in 2016 over Clinton. 4 years earlier, in the race between Obama and Mitt Romney, Romney in our state won by 17.2% of the votes. So there was a 2.4% gain there, which shows that Hillary Clinton was less palatable to the voters in Louisiana than Barack Obama, which is kind of interesting. But is Biden going to narrow the gap, or is this just business as usual in our state? We know Trump's going to carry it, but is he going to win in a landslide, Mike Wolf, in this state?
We're going to have to see. I don't believe in predicting the vote. I like to wait for Election Day to see what happens. But this whole situation shows the importance of third parties and independent candidates. And it points up the reason that we got Trump here, because of this addiction to the two-party system. If it weren't for that, Trump wouldn't be president. If more people felt comfortable voting for either Jill Stein or Gary Johnson the last time. And it shows just the inadequacy of the two-party system. There are many, many... I often say that the Democrats elected Trump by nominating Hillary, who was such a poor candidate. And but many people, I have many, many friends, and I know of many people who didn't like Trump, but they just couldn't stand Hillary Clinton. And so they voted for the person they disliked the least. And that shows you we need more alternatives, and people need to be willing to vote for independents, and that will stop the domination of the Democrats and the Republicans. Trump was, you know, had a 50-50 chance to be elected president once he got the Republican nomination, and that was the first crime.
Well, we're apparently a little ways away from a third-party candidate winning an election. Mm-hmm. But third-party candidates have gotten states. For example, George Wallace carried five states, and that was five or four more than George McGovern carried in 1972. But right now in these battleground states in this New York Times survey, Biden is ahead by 11 in Michigan, 11 in Wisconsin, 10 in Pennsylvania, 6 in Florida, 7 in Arizona, and 9 in North Carolina. So the president has some making up to do. Roger Stone was right. The election is not tomorrow. It's 130 days, but it is getting close enough, and Trump has to come back from a long way out. Donna in Mid-City. Donna, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Can you tell me what reasons Hillary Clinton? Thank you.
What reasons?
I was criticizing
Hillary. I think you said she was a terrible candidate. Yes. Why was she a terrible candidate?
Well, for one thing, the record of the Clinton administration on things like criminal justice. Plus, I don't think she's particularly honest. Speak of dancing around issues, she did. She tried to avoid taking controversial stands, her reversing her position on the trade agreement in
All
the
right.
Pacific.
Patrick in Innisfail. Patrick, good morning. Please be brief. You're on with Mike.
Yeah, I guess, Jim, earlier I heard you say that most college-educated people are going to vote for Biden, and I disagree with that. I think if you have a college education in engineering, accounting, mathematics, and economics, you understand numbers, you tend to realize that Biden or Democrat Party is not the way to go. Maybe if you have a degree in arts or something else and don't have an understanding of numbers.
Well, I understand numbers pretty well, and I know Democratic presidents fare much better when it comes to the stock market and the deficit than do Republican presidents. But I'm just reading from a poll, and the poll shows Trump way ahead among whites without a college degree and way behind 58 to 30 for those who do have a college degree. We'll be back, spend a few more minutes with Mike Wolf, and then hear from Kennedy Walker after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're wrapping it up with Mike Wolf, the godfather of the Libertarian Party, who says he'd rather have Biden than Trump. Well, in Louisiana, it really doesn't matter. Trump's going to carry our state, but if you really believe that, why would you vote for a Libertarian? Because we know either Biden or Trump's going to win.
Because one purpose of elections is to express your preferences, your opinions, and your preferences for policies, and that everyone in Louisiana should feel much freer to vote for Joe Jorgensen because they know Trump's going to win the state, and so they're not going to cause the hated Democrat to win the state.
Okay, and no Democrat has won a presidential race in Louisiana since William Jefferson Clinton in the year of 1996, so long time ago. And our next guest, Kennedy Walker. I'm not even sure you were alive in
97. No, I was born in 97. I was thinking that.
Well, Kennedy, as a student journalist last year at LSU, was the first in line to report about the racist past of the president of LSU, Troy Middleton, a great warrior in American warfare, World War I and World War II, acted heroically, also did some exceptional things at LSU after both the president and of the university and the governor of Louisiana went to jail, and he cleaned up their mess. But he did write a letter to his counterpart at the University of Texas, and I'm going to read it. It says, though we do not like it, we accepted Negroes as students. Therefore, they are permitted to occupy rooms and dormitories, take their meals in university dining halls. We've had a limited number to occupy rooms. At no time has a Negro occupied a room with a white student. We keep them in a given area and do not permit indiscriminate occupancy. Thus far, we have no problem. Our Negro students have made no attempt to attend social functions, participate in athletic contests, go in the swimming pool. If they did, for example, we would discontinue the operation of the swimming pool. Since we have not had a Negro request that he be permitted to participate in athletics, we, of course, have not had to make a decision. If one should apply between now and February 1, 1962, the date of my retirement, I think I could find a good excuse on why we would not, why he would not participate. To be specific, LSU does not favor whites and Negroes participating together on athletic teams. Today, the football team, the world champion, national champion, whatever, the greatest team in the history of college football, 85% African-American. Kennedy Walker is an African-American who attended Louisiana State University. And last week, 1 week ago today exactly, Troy Middleton's name was removed from the library. What do you think of all this happening over the course of the last year? The world has changed quite a bit.
The world has changed quite a bit, and I interviewed, I'm currently a reporter for WVLA, and I interviewed some of the students that really helped bring this motion, you know, into place. And I honestly, being a student at LSU, being a reporter now, I never thought that Middleton's name would be off. So now that I was able to report on it, you know, coming off, it's an amazing time right now.
Well, the mayor has stated that she's going to have a commission to determine whether all these Confederate names on streets in Baton Rouge should be removed. She says the city parish should consider changing the names of streets that honor generals like Lee, Forrest, Confederate Avenue. So this has opened a whole wide range of action. There are many other, Hood, Stewart, Pickett. There are a lot of names that may have to go. Richard Cole, the proprietor, along with Mike Johnson of DiGiulio's, writes that his establishment at 2903 Perkins Road could have a new name outside because it seems that Perkins Road was named after Jehu Perkins and his twin brother Henry, two wealthy sugar planters from Kentucky. They ran a plantation in 1855 here in Baton Rouge, and if they did, chances are slaves were involved, so maybe Perkins Road has to go. So where do we draw the line, or should we draw the line? Should we just, if you were a segregationist or an outright racist affiliated with the Confederacy, having slaves, you got to go. Is that where we are now?
It seems like it. It seems like in this day of age in 2020, after the, I'm going to say, historic George Floyd protest, it seems like no one really wants to put up with it anymore. You know, it's been here for years and years and years, and now everyone's ready to just kind of move forward.
Now, you were a student at LSU, and the student body is still just a little over 10% in a state that's 32% African-American. And former Chancellor Wharton was on this show a few days ago, and he said the student body at LSU should be at least 20% African-American. Did you face discrimination?
I didn't face discrimination, but I definitely, you know, looking around, I also went to a predominantly white high school back in New Orleans, and looking around, there weren't a lot of people that looked like me. And it was kind of discouraging when I was sitting in those classes and I was only one or maybe one of three African-American students. And I think that there definitely should be more African-Americans on LSU's campus and more African-American professors, because out of all my years at LSU, I only had one, I want to say, black professor, and it was a man.
Well, is this going to help, just getting Middleton's name off? The Chancellor Wharton was against taking Middleton's name off the building, but he is a person who loves Louisiana State University, and he says if this helps achieve the goal of more inclusion and makes people happier and more productive, then it will have been a good thing. What do you think?
I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. Out of all of the buildings on LSU's campus, there's only one named after an African-American, and that's, I want to say, A.P. Thoreau.
That is correct.
It's definitely a step in the right direction. I know that the students that really helped, you know, bring this forward said that they hope that whoever's on, you know, takes the place of Middleton is an African-American person. So I say we just keep moving forward in this direction.
All right. Maggie Canero says, kudos to your current guest for outstanding journalism. Says you, too, could be ahead of issues if you leverage your position by incorporating valuable perspectives from the community into your segments. I wonder what valuable perspective you're currently choosing to not amplify. I didn't know I was choosing to not amplify anything. And she said I'd glorified Middleton in 2017. I don't think we did that. I remember we had the writer from the University of Texas on this show, wrote a book about Earl Campbell, and he talked about Middleton. And Middleton, of course, is a person who did some great things in warfare, but that does not excuse this letter he wrote. And the letter alone, in the views of many, is enough that he should have been removed, and he was quickly, and I mean it was in the blink of an eye.
It was like they made the vote at, I want to say, 10:30 in the morning, and less than 3 hours later, they were already taking down his letter. So LSU, I want to just give kudos to the interim president, Tom Galligan. When he got on camera and said Black Lives Matter, I know a lot of people, they were looking like, whoa, and he truly meant it because Middleton's name came off.
And at LSU right now, there is Kirby Smith Hall. He was a Confederate general. Beauregard, he was taken down in New Orleans. There's still a residence hall named in his honor. The Boyds, Boyd Professorships, the highest honor for an LSU professor, they were virulent racists and sympathizers to the Confederacy. So I would assume they're going to go soon, and you're shaking your head. But does it stop with Middleton for a while, or does this gain steam and suddenly everybody who has a distinct record on these issues is removed as quickly as General Middleton's name was?
I definitely don't think this is the last that we're going to hear from these LSU students. I think that also Interim President Tom Galligan, he meant what he said, and I think that those names will be coming down. Maybe not in 3 hours like Middleton's, but I definitely believe him, and I believe those students that they're going to be coming down soon.
And were you there when it happened?
I wasn't there when they took down the letters. My colleague Dion Guillory was, and I saw the video, and it was a sight to see.
All right, Maggie in Mid-City. Good morning, Maggie.
Hey, I just want to contextualize what I said. I forwarded you an email that I sent. You did have a guest on. Y'all were talking about Middleton Library, the state of the Middleton Library. You talked about Troy H. Middleton. You did celebrate his past. And I wrote in because, I think these conversations need to be nuanced. And I offered up the truth about Middleton and what his tenure included and his take on desegregation and his take on black LSU students at the time and how he's an affront to alumni as well, and that it needed to be the library needed to be torn down, build a new one, and name one after someone worthy of such recognition. These conversations are nuanced. I do think it's important that you comments you're not amplifying
I'm not intentionally not amplifying anything. That's what this show is all about. We present all views that we believe are worth presenting, and I don't know that I've done that, but I apologize if I in some way did not amplify something about Troy Middleton, but his record has been discussed more than once on this show, and I appreciate you listening and commenting.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And Kennedy Walker, you're 23 years old, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be around a long time, and you don't remember segregated lunch counters and that sort of thing. We have come a long ways, but obviously with this George Floyd thing and other blacks, unarmed citizens, shot in the back, for example, in Atlanta, we still have some miles to travel.
Definitely.
How do we get past all this and unite for a better purpose?
Honestly, I don't have all of the answers, but I would just assume that we go one day at a time. We take things one day at a time and just try to make a better world, make a better country, so that what my parents went through, what I may go through doesn't happen to the future generations, because enough is enough. And, how many African Americans, how many people of color have to die before something's done about it?
Well, thank you for joining us. And she, Kennedy Walker, is a star reporter with WVLA. Keep up your good work.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in here today. We'll be back Monday, same time, same place, and we'll have one of those African-American professors, Lori Martin, with us to start our show. First Financial Tax and Accounting provides signature support.